welcome to the program. Today we'll be looking in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We're going to be focusing on the subject of the pastor. Have your Bible ready. Why do we use the term pastor today? You know, the word pastor does not even occur in the Word of God. Now, it does in the plural. It's pastors occurs 8 times, 7 times in the Old Testament, 1 time in the New Testament. The word elder occurs 20 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we find it 11 times, and in the New Testament, 9. The word elders, plural, is found in the Word of God 179 times. 119 of them are in the Old Testament and 60 are in the New. The word bishop is found 4 times in the New Testament, and the word bishops, plural, occurs 1 time in the New Testament. What is the difference and why are these different terms used? We're going to be looking at the term the pastor. We call the man who's in charge in the church these days the pastor, and rightfully so. But why? Why do we not use these other terms? We're going to look at that and a lot of other things concerning the term the pastor. In the meantime, make this your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
We have have an in-depth article on our website somewhere, if you check it out there, on coming to terms with the terms, where we deal with this in more detail. But simply put, the word elder is a term that the Jews understood concerning a position of leadership. And when the Bible is directed here to the Jews in particular, if Paul was speaking to the Jews, he would use the word elders. When we come to the word bishop, bishop was a Greek term that the Greeks understood as a position of leadership, and Paul would use that term. Both terms are synonymous with the term that we use today, which is pastor. Now, the word pastor does not occur in the New Testament. It does occur in our verse here, where it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, plural, and teachers. It does occur there, but in other places, this Greek word 17 times has been translated shepherd. And when we look at what a shepherd's responsibilities are, it gives us insight as to what a pastor's responsibilities are. Now, when we come to these different terms, as we said, with elder or bishop or pastor, the terms are used in different situations in this world. For instance, some years ago, I had the privilege to be in the jungles in South America with the Yanomami Indians. It was there in living in a mud hut, dirt floors, and the real thing. And the Yanomami Indians are among the most vicious tribes still known to man today. But you notice when you get into one of those situations, if you're in one of those villages, they have a chief. They don't have a captain. If you called him a captain, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. He's a chief. He's the one that's in authority. Well, if you're going to watch a hockey game and the guy behind the bench there, they call him a coach. If you're watching a baseball game, they call him a manager. And so it is with the elder. He was a position of authority in the Jewish environment. The bishop was a position of authority in the Greek environment. And the pastor is a position of authority in the local churches today. Now, it says very plainly in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Then in verse 17 of chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews, it says, obey them. Verse number 7 talks about they have the rule over you. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, you know, there's no submission if you agree. There's no submission unless we disagree. So there's some things here, and it all has to be taken in the context of a pastor's responsibility. But nevertheless, he is a position of authority. Let me read those verses again. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. That's pretty simple. Then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. But the question is, in this age of apostasy, what are we to do if the pastor is a compromiser? Am I to obey this compromiser in his compromise? There's two examples of reasons why people could leave a church today, and one of those has to do with the fact that Christians are carnal. They have a pastor who's doing the job, but they don't want a pastor that's doing the job. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We're living there today where very few people who call themselves fundamental independent Baptists really want the truth of what the Bible says on how to stand and live for the Lord today. That if you're going to have a pastor who will stand with the truth, they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll go and get themselves, they got itching ears, it says here. They'll find some pastor that'll tickle their ears and they'll be turned away they'll turn away their ears from the truth. That's one reason why people leave churches today. Another reason is compromising pastors. One is carnal Christians. The other is compromising pastors. Back in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says, "The pastors transgressed against me." Jeremiah 10:21 says, "For the pastors are become brutish." That's an interesting word. "They have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Their flocks shall be scattered." They're going to leave because the pastor is a compromiser. In Jeremiah 10 verse 8 it says, "But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities." And so it's comparing being brutish with having the doctrine of vanities. And in Titus 1:14 it says that they'll be turning to fables, and the fables will turn from the truth. And so we're going to be looking at what to do in this age of apostasy when we have a situation where the pastor, is the pastor compromising, or are the Christians carnal? We're going to look at it. Now, as we look into the Word of God, you'll find there are several places where we can find out the responsibilities of a pastor. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are written to the pastor of the church. I've told our people for years and years, you can see if I'm doing my job scripturally or not. Study the 1st and 2nd books of Timothy and study the book of Titus. It tells the pastor how things ought to be done in the local church. But then we have seven more situations here, and that is seven pastors that are listed in the book of Revelation. Now, we usually talk about the seven churches, and there was seven churches, and the message was to be preached unto the churches. But if you look at every one of these, the letter is addressed to the pastor. Revelation 2:1, it says, "Under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write." Now, the word angel there has been translated messenger seven times. We'll use that translation here. "Unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus, write." And so he was to write unto the pastor. Revelation 2:8, "Under the angel or the pastor of the church of Smyrna, write." 2:12, "Under the pastor of the church of Pergamos, write." 2:18, "Under the pastor of the church of Thyatira, write." 3:1, "Unto the angel or the pastor of the church in Sardis, write." Chapter 3, verse 7, Revelation, "And to the angel or the pastor of the church in Philadelphia, write." And finally, the church at the Laodiceans in Revelation 3:17, "Under the angel or the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans, write." So these letters were addressed to the pastor, and we need to understand that context when we look at these letters. And if we do, we can learn what our responsibility is as pastors. Now, to the church at Smyrna and to the church at Philadelphia, there's no criticism. But as we look at Ephesus and Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and the Laodicean churches, the pastor is criticized by God for how he's doing or not doing things. And we can look at this portion of Scripture and learn what our responsibilities are today as pastors, and if our pastors are taking the Scripture seriously and doing what we are taught here in the Scriptures. And so in the messages to come, we'll be looking in this series concerning this portion of Scripture, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now we're going to look at this series, we're going to look at the messenger, we'll look at the message, and we'll look at the method. And as we do, we'll examine what the Bible has to say here concerning these seven pastors in the book of Revelation, and what he has to say to Timothy, who was a pastor, and that was addressed to him in 1 and 2 Timothy, and also what the Lord had to say to Titus. Of course, he also was a pastor, and he's given instructions as to what should be done. And so, as we mentioned, we're living in an age of apostasy, and we need to determine what we need to do if we're pastors or if we are the people in the congregation What are we to do in the situation that we are faced with? Make this your honest prayer, because unless this is your honest prayer, this is just a bunch of material that's going in your brain. What we need to do is make this our prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Whether it's the pastor, whether it's the people, that needs to be our prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Are we teachable?
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart. Dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part. From thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by